Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Let's talk about if you ever have come within an inch of your life.
Oh.
No
disease and whatnot.
No disease, health thingy.
Right.
But if you ever been in a car or a building that fell down or, you know, like a 2x4 just missed your head.
Exactly,
or
yes.
Something of that, like a wrench flew by you.
Right. Just missed your head.
Right.
Yep.
1-877-764-2535. This struck me yesterday. If you get a chance to go to the radio station website and look up audio on demand, we had a Titanic expert on.
Yes.
We had him on for half an hour. We got to have him back. He was just amazing. But one of the things that struck me is when he went down and dived the Titanic.
The submersible, yeah.
Yeah.
Before the dive, they told me, you know, if one rivet lets go in the submersible, you know, it's going to implode. And then they said...
It'll crush a beer can.
And then they said, but don't worry. If that happens, it's going to happen so quickly that the neurons in your nervous system won't even have time to tell your brain that something's gone wrong. Huh. So that was really very encouraging.
Just...
Yeah, you're going to die. You're going to die so fast, you won't even feel any pain or even know you're about to die.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh, there's a Titanic. Where did the angels come from? Yeah.
So would you even be able to say... Hey, what was that noise?
Nothing.
I don't think so.
No. It'll be all of a sudden, why am I hearing harp music?
No, but the rivet would be popping, no?
You wouldn't even be able to get out the phrase, we have a problem.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you hear...
Maybe.
Like a stress crack.
Maybe.
Hey.
Right.
Is that some...
Exactly. Right. Like a bug being stepped on a sidewalk.
Yeah.
Yep.
Was that a...
Exactly. Like that bug hitting your windshield on the highway.
Right, and I just wonder if anything would float up to the surface. He said the Titanic is 12,000 feet below...
almost 13,000 feet, yeah.
Almost 13,000. How big is the Empire State Building?
I want to say it's somewhere around there.
All right, Ashley's going to look it
up. Yeah, but you know the...
It's a long way down.
You know the... But they're hooked up to something, so they'll probably reel it all back in. It'll be this little squashed thing on a hook.
Well, like a crushed beer can, like
exactly, right, yeah. Yeah. Who ordered the beer can? But they're always painted bright yellow. Be like, who ordered a bright yellow beer?
I have a feeling the only thing on the cable will be the little U-bolt.
Yeah, right.
Like
exactly.
Everything else just comes apart
right.
And is down there now with the Titanic.
Yeah.
The Empire State Building is 1,454 feet.
Oh, wow.
1,400?
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus.
1,400?
1,454 feet to tip.
Wow. So a whole
1,400.
So
yes.
So roughly about 10
wow.
Empire State Buildings down.
If I had to guess, I would have guessed a lot higher, wouldn't you?
I would have guessed definitely, yes.
1,400.
Well, that's nothing. No, that's good.
And he went down 12,000 feet.
Right.
Like 10 Empire State Buildings.
Yeah, so that thing sank for a while before it hit the bottom.
Oh, he said, well, you asked a good question. How long did it take for you to go down in that deal? And he said 90 minutes.
That's a long time. Are we there yet? And someone had to go to the bathroom at some point. There's no bathroom on that thing.
Well, you have to be feeling the pressure, too. Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
There's no bathroom on there.
Interesting. I didn't even think of that.
I think it's like an astronaut. You just go.
Yeah. Yeah.
First of all, you clean out the poop. And then if you have to hydrate. So if you have to pee, you just pee.
Yeah, but if you have gas, no, I'm going to smell it.
Write this down so when we talk to him again.
Two French guys. Diapers. They eat a lot of cheese and wine.
Yeah, that's right.
Ooh,
gaseous. Donnie and Higginham.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning, thank you. Donnie and Higginham.
So years ago in the Marine Corps, a bunch of us guys went up to the top of this mountain after the rainy season, and there was this raging river.
Oh.
And God rest his soul, but Daryl Persinger and I were going to jump in this river, and there was a little culvert that went under the ground, and you literally went under the ground in this tunnel for about 100 feet. And Daryl said, I don't know if we should do this. And I said, all right, let's just do it. So he did it first, and we never found him.
He never
came up. And when he went in the water, when he jumped off the rocks, he screamed out, "Donnie, don't do it!" Because it took him so fast. He went under and gone so quick that I was like, "I'm not doing it." And so we went down the river to fetch him. And we never found Daryl until they found him about a month later after the rainy season was over and the water went down.
Oh, my
and,
God.
We got news. Yeah, he got stuck in some rocks underneath, apparently.
Yeah.
But I was
oh, his last words were to save you.
Yeah. A hero.
Wow.
That's my brother, man.
Yeah. And thank you for your service, by the way.
I got goosebumps telling you.
Yeah, man. Well, I'm glad his name got out over the air so we could all hear of his heroics. And thank you for your service.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Daryl Persinger, West Virginia.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Holy crap. Well, that's what we asked for.
Yep. There's one place I will never go. Raging River. Forget about it.
Right.
I'm going to calm one.
Right. I mean, on paper, it sounds fun. Let's jump in and then we'll go through a tunnel.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, they're Marines. They're badass.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Talking about how you came within an inch of death and not illness.
Right.
1-877-764-2535. Fish nipples.
Good morning, everybody. Again.
Morning to you.
I used to work for a framing company. We built a cape, and we were just putting up the joists for the roof when my boss showed up. And with the staircase in the back of the truck, put it from the first floor to the second floor, and then he started yelling at me, hurry up, hurry up. And I was grabbing joists, pulling them up, handing them up to the guys on the beam. And with this hurry up attitude, I stepped backwards and fell into the hole for the stairs.
Oops.
And landed on about 8 feet down.
Damn.
Knocked the wind out of me. Whole job site stops.
It was almost a stairway to heaven.
Did you land on your face?
If I had gone to the basement, I would have been dead.
Wow.
That's within an inch of death.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah. Crazy.
And hurry up, hurry up.
Anyway.
It sounds like you smashed your nose on the basement.
Yeah, that's when it all started.
Before that, fish nipple sounded like this.
Exactly right.
Yep. He
did voiceover. Yep. Now he's bug.
Everything's good.
Now he's bug voice.
Well, sound different.
My voice gets higher.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, brother. You know we kid because we love.
Yeah, of course,
right?
Yes.
I know that.
We know it's you.
Guys.
All right. Yeah, and this doesn't have to be a story like our Marine story, which was horrible, but inspiring from its bravery.
Yeah.
This could be something like fish nipples. You're at the job and the hammer almost hit you in the head.
Right.
There's a lot of job sites where you're down on the, you know, the ground level and then something comes down. Someone accidentally knocks a tool or something down or you almost cut your hand off or you almost drilled your hand off.
Right.
1-877-764-2535. Chaz and Ansonia.
Good morning, Chaz and AJ.
Good morning, Chaz and
Antonio. Wind tunnel, Chaz.
Hello, wind tunnel, Chaz.
I'm driving down 95, gentlemen. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Work.
Yeah,
that's all right. We appreciate the call.
Yeah, you got to work.
But I got a story here. A couple weeks ago, I was working up at Suckerbrook Dam in Winsted, Connecticut.
Suckerbrook?
Yeah.
Oh boy, I want to hear the story about how that got named.
So I'm by myself. My co-workers in the excavator are about a half a mile across the job site. The other guy rented a supply house. I'm kneeling down cutting fabric. Now, we're riding a stream up there, and I hear splashing. I look up. There's a huge black bear face-to-face with me.
Whoops.
Oh, boy.
So I kept eye contact, gradually moved step by step, and turned around and hauled ass, and he went the other way.
Yeah.
Put it this way. It was too close for comfort. I read the tags on his ears. That's how close we were.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's close.
Obviously, the bear smelled your pants at that moment. That's why it went the other way.
How many tags?
I'm glad I didn't do my laundry that
there you
week.
Go, see? You need to after that, yeah.
That week.
How many tags did the bear have?
He had actually two, so one more time that he was captured, he's going bye-bye.
Oh, boy.
That was his third one.
That's why he ran away. He's like, oh, God, can't have another one. No more tags.
Yeah, so that was pretty weird.
Boy, that could have went the other way. They could have found that bear all fat sitting at a tree.
Right.
All right, anybody see Chaz?
Nope.
He coughs up a shoe.
Exactly right. Nope.
That looks like Chaz's shoe.
Two tags says no.
All right, thank you, Chaz. Right now we're talking about an inch from death.
Right.
Accidental, not illness.
Right.
1-877-764-2535. Cabby in Wallingford.
Good morning, Chaz. Good morning, AJ.
Morning, Cabby.
Good morning.
Yep.
How are you?
Good.
Well, March 4th, 1980, I remember it like it was an hour ago.
March 4th,
at my friend's house, I was 15 years old.
Right.
Playing video games, and he was playing around with his father's gun.
Oops.
357 Magnum, to be exact. I heard click, and that's all I heard. The bullet went through my arm, through my side. I ended up losing one kidney, my spleen.
Oh, my God.
Three fingers on my left hand.
What?
Because it went through the elbow.
Whoa.
Yeah, it went through the ulnar nerve.
Damn.
Oh.
Oh, so they went dead. Gotcha.
So if my elbow wasn't there, I would have been dead. It would have put a hole in me, probably a good 3-foot hole coming out of me.
Wow.
So my elbow saved me, but the kicker was the blood they gave me was tainted.
Oh.
Because in 1980, what? They didn't check the blood.
Right. Was that a song by Soft Cell?
So I ended up with Hep C from it. On top of everything else.
My God. Damn.
And I finally got cured from the Hep C last year.
Wow. Long-term effect.
Are you kidding me? Is Hep C that serious?
Wow.
I have no idea how serious that is.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's very serious.
I know less, so.
I was in the hospital 6 months.
Damn.
That's a long time.
Is this the cabbie that I know?
I think you probably, I'm sure you probably did.
All right. No, then you're not. Because you sound similar.
Yep.
To Cabby, who used to be an intern for the night show.
Yeah, I think I told you about
that. That's me. That's me.
Okay, then why wouldn't you just say, yeah, you know me. I used to I never noticed you were missing three fingers.
No, not missing the three fingers. They
just
don't
work. Oh, gotcha.
Oh.
So like when you clap, they go, they make noise.
Like a claw.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. If you told me that, we would have called you Fingers, not Cabby.
Exactly right.
How'd you get the name Cabby?
Or Holy.
He was a cab driver.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was a cab driver, and Chaz gave me the name Cabby.
There you go, see?
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who
that
knows?
Is literally inches.
Don't play with
death.
Guns.
No, well, you're not supposed to, yeah.
Well, now there's a whole... One. Yeah, there's a whole different deal now. You got to have the trigger lock and all this other stuff. You have kids in the house.
All that, yeah.
There's lots of protocols.
Yep.
Wow.
Man. All right.
March 4th, 1980. Thank you, brother. Glad that worked out for you.
Exactly, see?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm still kicking.
Ask you something? Like, why wouldn't you tell that story when we were doing the night show? Why wouldn't you tell me that story?
Like, all these years later.
This is what interns do.
Right.
Now you tell me.
But I think... But
that'd have been a whole show.
You ever have that with an intern? You have this segment, it goes, you turn the mics off, then they tell you an incredible story.
And you're like, where the hell were you a moment ago?
Like, why didn't you just say that?
What the hell?
Yeah. I'm kidding with you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm glad you're okay, man.
Seriously.
I mean, now with everything going on with guns and stuff, and, people need to hear it.
Yeah. No, you're right about that.
You know?
Absolutely.
And I own a gun.
Go,
I'll never give up that right.
I think more people have bought new. I think new gun ownership is at an all-time high this year.
It is. Yep.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's the one right that you really, should take advantage of if you
can. All right, Cabby, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it. Glad you're okay.
Right. Yeah.
Holy crap.
My
My
dad has a very similar story. His friend down the street invited him over when he was in grammar school. And for some reason, he didn't go that day. And he invited, the kid invited somebody else, and they were playing with a gun, and he accidentally shot and killed him. Like, thank God my dad wasn't there that day. The one day he didn't go.
He might have gotten killed. The kid might have missed.
Right. We don't know if he'd be standing in the same area, if it would have unfolded the same way, but who knows?
Exactly, yeah.
Wowie.
Yeah, the one time he didn't go.
Well, there's that, and that shows how close Cabby was.
Yep.
Yeah. Jeez.
Holy crap. AJ, you having a hard time injecting comedy here?
Well, no, I said tainted blood, remember?
Yeah, tainted blood.
Soft Cell, yeah.
Jason in Newington.
How's it going?
Good, thank you.
How are you?
Doing good. A couple years back. Doing work down in Norwalk at a place called Merit 7, and I was jackhammering about 4:30 in the morning. I jackhammered into a utility line with 3 1-inch lines running through it.
See, so cold before you dig.
13,000 volts.
Wow.
Wait, I didn't hear you. How many volts?
13,000.
Damn.
13,000.
Did you light up or did you jack down more?
Just for reference, when you like get shocked from your electrical outlet, that's 120, right?
110, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, around then. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Is it 110 or 120?
I think it's 110.
Okay.
Could be wrong. I'm not electric.
It still hurts no matter what.
When you get shocked,
when you get shocked by 13,000, you know.
Yeah.
But you light up the city.
Luckily, I guess the quickness of the jackhammer, it just arc flashed. It didn't give me the shock, but the impact of the arc flash threw me back, you know, quite a ways.
And then he walked away like a jackhammer.
He didn't even have to turn the jackhammer on. After that, he just held it and put it to the ground.
Well, the bit was pretty melted after that. So.
What a martini?
Oh, what happened to the bit?
It was melted back. It, like, mushroomed back, rounded off.
Wow.
The whole gun was all charred black.
Damn.
Did it turn the power off?
Oh, yeah, I knocked out power to two office buildings.
Yeah, but now you turn the jackhammer on. It takes you to a different dimension in time.
And was that before you dig, or did you just miss some markings?
So, funny thing is, I asked my supervisor multiple times for as-builds or things like that because we were running into issues with that previously, and I just, you know, got the runaround and just, you know, was told to work, so I worked, and... that morning, it was miscommunication or just error judgment. I don't know.
Wow.
I asked my foreman, Chip, right here. He said yes, and I did. And next thing I knew, I was laying on my back.
Well, next thing I said, don't worry about it. I'm going to take off that street on Gasline Street tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do utility and site work now, so I'm digging with excavators.
There you
not
go.
Much
right.
better.
Wow. And call before you dig, man.
Exactly.
Call
right.
before you dig.
Yeah,
I've done that. It is so easy to use. They come right out.
Yep.
They mark everything.
Yep.
It's very fast.
I found it on Grand Sprinkler.
Wowie.
Yep. Needless to say, it was 5 days before my son was born, too, so I think somebody wanted me around.
Could you imagine?
Right.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad you're alive.
Yes.
And I got to tell you.
Thank you.
I see someone running a jackhammer, I think, man, that is probably the hardest work you can do.
Must pee a milkshake.
Yeah,
it's loud. Yeah. It vibrates your whole skeleton.
Everything's so foamy.
Everything.
Right.
That's right. If you have a can of soda in your pocket, about it.
Captain Hammer, you talk.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. Glad you're okay.
Jazz and AJ News.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Tonight at 7 on all of Connecticut connoisseur radio stations and Channel 3. And all of our social media platforms, we will air Face the State, a conversation about race and justice in Connecticut. Dennis House will be hosting along with one of our radio brothers in the building here. So tune in. I'm going to kick it off.
Right.
I have like 60 seconds.
That's cool.
But I'm the first thing you see.
Which, nice.
Awesome.
You're the voice of Face.
So. Sorry, and it's not forever.
I was told to stay away.
And then I turn it over to the smart people.
They gave me money for movies.
But there's an esteemed panel of community leaders, and it'll be a back and forth, and it's a conversation that we need to have.
So yes.
That's tonight at 7 on this radio station, all the connoisseur media radio stations, Channel 3, and all of our digital platforms. Now, let's announce to you the first Chaz and AJ post-pandemic event.
What is that?
Thank you, AJ.
That's my drum roll.
That
was you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah,
right.
That was a pretty good on-time drum roll.
Yes.
Right.
All right. The Chaz and AJ Heim Brothers Truck Group Stand Up for Vets.
Yes.
Happening Thursday, June 25th at 8 p.m.
Woo!
I know what you're thinking.
What are you thinking?
June 25th. Hmm. It's June 11th.
Right.
It's a 10, 11, 12.
About 2 weeks.
It's 2 weeks away.
Count the
Do I think I want to go out? And what phase are we in, by the way?
How do I get tickets? Yeah.
It's going to be on WPLR and 95.9 The Fox Facebook.
Yep.
So it's one of these virtual deals.
Yes.
Facebook Live.
Donations will go to help help our military heroes. And we want to thank McDermott Chevrolet and Lexus.
Thank you.
Call Before You Dig.
Thank you.
The Water Doctor.
Thank you.
NewEnglandTractor.com. A division of Johnson Automotive.
Nice. You're all good people.
On the show right now, Lori Hollander, co-founder and president of Help Our Military Heroes. Lori, we're excited about this. We're glad we're doing it. We're disappointed it's not going to be all in one room and hugs and kisses and
virtual hugs.
But we're excited that we're doing it. Just tell the tribe what your group does for veterans.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
Hey.
Hi.
So what we do is we support our wounded, ill, and injured, all branches of service, post 9/11 and pre 9/11. So that includes our Vietnam era, things like that. When their injuries require wheelchair accessible minivans, we are the organization that can help them bridge the benefits that they get through the VA through the real cost of an adaptive entry minivan. So that's what we do. We bridge the gap, we fill that gap, and we help our veterans out.
Who's the last guy who got a van from you?
I'm sorry?
Who's the last person who got a van from you?
Oh, my gosh. So we were out with Keith Stowers in Indiana. So, again, virtually. It was our very first FaceTime van award, but out in Indiana, Keith and his wife Lottie now have a wheelchair accessible minivan, and masks were on, and the immobility dealership was able to be there 6 feet away, all of the COVID precautions. But that was our 141st van that was done in 10 years.
What van number were we last year?
Ooh, tough question. What van were you last year? 120, like 120th.
Yeah, excited to put you on the
and
spot
we were
with
out
that.
In Ohio.
But we raised enough money at this event to get a van.
You did. You are actually able to help us with two vans. You were able to help us with two vans.
Two.
We raised almost $50,000 last year at the event.
So what Lori and Help Our Military Heroes does is they go and they, right, so there's a lot of paperwork involved,
right?
I mean, there's a lot of, you know, it's the government, so it's
of course
not,
yeah,
you
not
make
easy.
A phone call and it's done. So she'll do all that and connect the person with whatever grants they can get for the van, but then there's always this gap, and that money fills that gap.
It's true.
Without that money, you got the paperwork, you got approved, but still don't have the money to get the van. Now, think about if you're a veteran and you have a wife and some kids, and you can't do something simple like go to the store with them or go out anywhere with them.
Exactly. Everything's a chore. Yeah.
Everything becomes a chore.
Yeah.
So this is great work that you do. We're very proud to be a part of it. And we're going to have some special speakers. We're going to have three comedians.
Right.
Exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yep.
I can't wait.
First of its kind for us. Yep.
First of its kind.
Well, yeah, I'm super excited. And, I mean, I grew up in the era of, you know, Jerry Lewis telethon every Labor Day weekend, you know. So it was, I mean, we all sat home and were entertained but knew that we were helping a cause. So I think this is going to be fantastic.
That's a good way to look at it.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Jerry Lewis telethon.
Welcome.
We watched it at home.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. I like Lori will step in and do my job. Doing very well.
Yes, very effectively.
Just, Lori, before we let you go, tell us the story how you got involved in this.
Yeah.
So the quick story is that I was a single mom back in 2006. Both of my sons, my older son, left his junior year of college, enlisted in the Marine Corps, went off and served in the infantry. Immediately after hearing that his brother, his younger brother, had received an appointment to West Point. So I went to work. I worked at a gym back in the day, and I went to work, and I just asked everybody, like, we have to do something. Like, I now have to do something. And so I think what everybody was doing back then was just sending supplies, right? We're packing up boxes, sending food and supplies. And then I met, my first injured veteran and realized was learning more about vet's benefits, and I saw this gap. I learned about the gap that would be in my own son's benefits, and so that's when we just started focusing on that. We incorporated as Help Our Military Heroes. I mean, it really was, it grew out of just wanting to do something, and I didn't get that call to service that my sons heard and that so many hear. And so I think I just felt that we can all do something, and we could take $5 or $10 out of our pocket, or we could spend a day. I used to do spin-a-thons, AJ.
No. Thank you. These things happen. Move along.
She was there as a consultant behind the scenes helping AJ get through this.
The entire time sending videos from some of the people, yep.
Yeah, I just like that you had this energy, because both boys, imagine being a single mom, both boys going off to serve the country, very proud, but it's got to be scary. And we always think about the veterans and honor the veterans, rightfully so, but then we don't think about the families.
Exactly.
They are serving just as much, right?
And we made a phone call yesterday morning, and this will be in the line of how many veterans we're working with right now. So COVID is bad, and I'm so sad for all we've lost, but that all fundraising dries up because no one's going anywhere and everything's stopped. But they're still paralyzed or they're still amputees, so their need still goes on. And so these mobility dealerships are open, and so we have 5 van recipients like in this pipeline, in this system of the VA going through different things. But yesterday morning we were able to place a call to Blaine Sullivan, who served in the Army, was injured in Afghanistan back in 2010, and we're talking to his mom, and we announced that your application's been approved, we're going to be working with you, we're going to take this off your plate, this is one less thing you have to worry about. And this woman's resume is impeccable. And she still said, you know, with all of my experience as a social worker and doing all these things for other people for so many years, when my son came home, I had no idea what to do for him. I had no idea where resources were going to come from. And, as it's been said before, if you see the word adaptive on something, whether it's a home, a car, anything, that means you're about to get sticker shocked. So
right. The
VA does so much. Like, I will not slam it 100%. I might go 50% in, but not 100%.
Right. Not 100%, no.
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't know what I say to all of them. I thank them so much for their trust, because they're trusting us with personal information. And then I said, there's so many Americans. There's hundreds and hundreds of Americans that are just giving, you know, from their heart and from their pocketbooks. They trust us because we're 100% nonprofit, and that's what a lot of people really appreciate
This is what I like. So you had one of your big donors, the guy with the drinks.
Yeah.
Oh, he said last year, yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
Trimena Water.
Trimena Water.
Yep, good stuff.
Great man, generous man.
Yeah.
And he comes in the studio, and during one of the songs or commercial breaks, he says, I knew I was going to be a big part of this group and a big contributor when I went to a meeting, and they had all plastic forks and knives.
Oh, he came to our spin-a-thon. Yeah.
And he's like, well, what's the deal? And you said, well, every penny goes to these vans.
Right.
And so you bought this. So this isn't a group where you donate
yes.
money. And a little bit of it goes to the van.
It's all in.
And the rest is like, hey, our expenses.
Yeah, no.
It all goes. So
yep, paper plates
and
plastic forks.
We're proud to be part of it. We feel like we hooked up with the right people here. Help Our Military Heroes. We're linked up at the radio station's website. And if you're just tuning in, the Chaz and AJ Heim Brothers Truck Group Stand Up for Vets happening Thursday, June 25th at 8 p.m. on the WPLR and Fox Facebook page. Donations will all go to Help Our Military Heroes. Thanks to McDermott Chevrolet and Lexus. Call before you dig. The Water Doctor, NewEnglandTractor.com, a division of Johnson Automotive. And especially thanks to you, Lori, and your organization, Help Our Military Heroes. So we'll be in touch.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to hear the lineup. I can't. Just thank you for so many great sponsors. And thank you for all of you guys for just figuring out how to make things happen instead of just saying no and sorry and We wish we could do it. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Laurie. We are on Face the State tonight at 7 o'clock. It'll be on all of these radio stations that Connoisseur Media owns in Connecticut. It'll be on Channel 3 and all of our digital platforms. Face the State, a conversation about race and justice in Connecticut.
Yes.
And I'll be kicking it off. And then Dennis House will host it with Juan Castile, who's afternoon drive and I think program director of WYBC, right?
Does everything.
I have a hard time keeping track of everyone's
title. He
has YBC.
He has YBC.
Has done everything at that station at one point. He did the morning show. He's done it all there.
Exactly.
Yeah. He definitely keeps that place afloat in more ways than
one. Oh, he is an interesting guy, too, to talk to.
Oh, yeah.
He's been...
Big dude.
Great
voice. He's come through life, like, sideways.
And the nicest person.
Nicest person.
Yep. Yeah.
Let's go to Scott Haney. Hey.
I think that's very nice. Who are you talking about? Me?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
How did you know?
Yeah.
That's right.
How awkward this is. You were listening? Oh, my God.
Hey, so Greg and Chris were here yesterday.
Greg Thomas and Chris Perkins?
Bingo.
That's right.
Look at you.
Yes.
And I was recording my intro to the Face the State live event tonight.
Yes.
And I don't know how the subject came up. Oh, I remember that I was talking about what a genius you are at events, right? So when I go to an event, I'm worried about what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
So I'm putting that together as folks are coming up speaking to me. And I think you could tell, like, there's this blank stare in my eyes that I'm not really listening to what you're saying because I'm worried about not screwing up.
You're preoccupied.
Right? And I said, I've seen Scott at these events. He's completely engaged with everyone.
Oh, he's so
good.
Not
a care in the world. Yep. And then he'll go up on stage and kill it.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. I've seen him.
And then Greg told me the story. And you've told it on the air. It's not like I'm talking out of school here about an event that you did where there was some alcohol involved.
The Scott Haney rule.
And then it became an email and a rule that Scott can't drink at these things.
A precedent, yes.
Ever again.
Right.
Ever again. Yes, it was not a good. I remember it very well. It was the Falls Village Children's Theater. And that event ended up costing me $5,000, but I felt so bad. I was
$5,000.
I had a little too much to drink, so I felt so bad. I called them the next morning, and I was like, I don't think I could have raised as much money for you had I been two drinks less. So I'm giving you $5,000, which the Meredith Corporation matched. So they got a check for $10,000.
Right.
And they were like, come every year and drink your ass off.
Yeah. Next year, you had
drink as much as you want.
Next year, you had open bar, yeah.
I think the rule's up to, like, I can have one drink to socially calm myself down. But after that, I'm done. I'm cut off at public appearances.
Gotcha.
But that letter went in my folder the next day. Self-imposed, mind you.
Nice.
Wow.
Drink of choice?
Obviously a Cosmo.
Yeah.
Okay, Greg told me, I don't even know if I should. Greg said this, I don't know if it's the same, it's got to be the same event, right? Greg told me that you guys had a bunch of drinks before you spoke. So Eileen, and him, he had the company credit card, and you guys went into the bar, and, you know, you're eating. But then the drinks were going down, and then it was your turn to talk.
No, that was probably a different event.
Okay.
Greg was clearly not at this event. Had he been there, he would have taken over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that was pre-rule.
Right.
Wow.
Drinks are dangerous. I mean, you know, especially I tend not to eat because I do get a little nervous.
Yep.
So I tend not to eat, and then I have a drink, and then before you know it, I'm schnockered.
Exactly. Yep. Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, we can't be doing that anymore. So the first thing I do is go for the hors d'oeuvres now when I get there.
Yep.
Yeah. And, I won't even have one drink until the important stuff's done, and then I'll have a beer to calm down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have been disinvited to several events.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Over the course of the 22 years. In the beginning, this was a long time ago.
Right.
But, you know, like, people were just like, do you know what you just said? And I was like,
no.
I'm like, how much money did we raise? A ton, but you're never allowed to say that again. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
All right, we raised a ton of money.
Right.
But it's all good.
Right. And it is a different time. We grow socially. We learn
right.
from experiences.
Oh, yeah. I'm nothing like I was when I was 34. Right.
Well, except for 10 grand.
I will tell a story
off.
About a television personality. One of the jokes they told, and I won't mention the name. But he's up on stage, and maybe he had a couple of drinks in the bar before he got up on stage.
Okay.
And he gets up on stage, and he grabs a plant, and he puts it up to his crotch, and
no.
says, look at my bush.
Oh, my God.
Scott, do you know this person?
I do not know this person.
It sounds like a Scott joke, though.
That's a little funny.
I can picture you doing that.
Are they still working?
Yes.
Yes, he works at Target.
Yes.
All right. God bless him.
Yeah, yeah. Really.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that would be grounds for goodbye-ness.
Right.
That's grounds for goodbye.
That landscape looks familiar, like Scott.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, because what you know, in your contract, you are a representative of the station
24/7. Yep.
They don't recognize like oh time. You know, like a timesheet, like, oh, you work from 4 to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. No, no, no. You're on constantly. So if I'm in line at a supermarket and the woman in front of me on the express line is writing a check, I have to stand there very patiently and not lose my cool because I'm like, I just want to get out of here. But I have to go, that's very nice. That's a lovely check you're writing.
Great penmanship.
Just so you're
going
to make news happen.
The right. You know, the feather and the ink, nice touch.
Right, yeah. Exactly. No one does calligraphy anymore, yes.
Exactly.
The check
exactly.
doesn't bother me. It's when we're sifting through a purse for like 39 cents.
Yes.
Right? So I could
more.
Give you...
Oh, no,
and
like,
you just saw they had a single. They could hand it over, but no. Hold on.
No. Hang on a minute. Hold I have I have 39. I have the pennies. Hang on. I have the exact change.
I want to say, I'll just give you the money. Let me just pay. I'll just pay the whole thing.
Or just, you know, share the 39 cents
No, but
off.
I understand. Like, look, I'll be there someday, you know, because, you know, I'll just be eating cat food.
Right. But
so
good cat food.
I'll be there with my change and
cat
handing
good,
over
though,
my
yeah.
change. Right. So.
Like a pate.
I went to the bank yesterday, and I turned in $27.50 in rolled pennies and nickels. I thought they were going to – they looked at me, and they were very polite, but I was like –
Is there a financial problem over at the Haiti
house? No, no. You know, I've been home so much.
Yeah.
I've been home so much.
I got to get rid of these
like,
pennies.
I'm going to roll my quarter. I'm going to roll my pennies and my nickels.
I have such a huge jar of pennies.
When you do that, are you afraid that one of those pennies is that penny? That
100%.
Yep.
Like when you give change away.
Yep.
I always think, is this the coin that's worth $1 million?
That folks been searching for exactly. for years. Yes, right.
Yeah.
Yep. Then I'm like, you just got to take your chances. I'll take
that's
the $27.50.
Who wants to sit there
right.
and look up, let's see, a 1972 D.
Right.
Yeah, okay. It's worth a penny.
What does the
it's
D stand for?
Exactly.
Anyway?
It's
dummy.
Probably worth less.
Big
these
dummy.
Days.
Right. Democrat.
So we went over the weather. I hear the kitty.
Kitty!
You hear him? Do you
Dash.
Hear him? Hang on a second. Hang on. Say hi, Dash. Of course, once I put the phone near him, he stops.
Right. Yeah.
He's Where's... like, let me out. He's like, I want to go outside.
Can I tell you, Dash just made the sound of what I would use for that video you guys were playing this morning, the brain freeze cat.
Oh, my God. That was so terrible. Funny.
That was amazing.
I couldn't hear the audio, but I just laughed out loud.
It was hysterical.
Yeah.
Brain freeze kitty.
Yeah.
Brain freeze.
Yeah, so we do have some nasty weather to talk about. Unfortunately, it is coming in our direction. By this afternoon, by like late morning into the early afternoon, we're going to have some showers out there for you this morning. Nothing too substantial. And then they're going to move through. And then later this afternoon, well, like late morning, early afternoon, showers and thunderstorms are going to start moving into northwest and southwest Connecticut. They'll cross across the state through about 5, 6, 7 o'clock tonight, and then they'll be gone. But some of these storms could produce rain, heavy rain, gusty winds, maybe even a little bit of hail. And so just keep your eyes to the skies if they look threatening. You want to head indoors. Keep it tuned to Channel 3. Keep the Channel 3 app handy, and we will get you through the day. And then tonight, things start to calm down. Friday, tomorrow, 84 degrees, low humidity, and absolutely gorgeous day.
Beautiful.
Beach day?
Beach day tomorrow.
Good work, nice. Though.
Or pool
and then
day.
Saturday looks pretty good too, but it's going to be a little bit cooler. 78 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Sunday, unfortunately, more clouds than anything else with some passing showers in the afternoon. So if you're looking for a day to get outside on the weekend, Saturday is definitely the better of the two weekend days. Sunday's not going to be a washout. It's just going to feature some showers in the afternoon.
All right, Scott, thanks for coming on, man. Have a great weekend, brother.
Hey, man, you guys too.
Thank you.
Don't Scott drink Haney. At events. Don't drink at events.
We don't have any events. While I'm here.
Exactly yeah, right, so. Yes.
All right, Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation Concert God, on the show. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Morning.
Good.
How you How doing?
I'm doing fine. Awesome. Doing fine. Went to the office yesterday.
Cool.
First time in many months, so
a little
spent
dusty.
The day in the office.
A little dusty.
A sense of normalcy.
Yes.
Oh, gosh, it was so good.
Now, yeah. I thought you went last week when we talked to you. You said you were back.
I went to the office just to pick some things up and left, but we officially opened up the office yesterday for everybody, and not that we required anybody to come in, but it was open for anybody that wanted to come.
Oh, that's a good way to do
so
it.
So I spent 8 hours there, and it was nice.
Oh, wow. Your first yep. 8 hour day.
Yep.
Jack must have missed you.
Well, no, I brought Jack with me. Jack comes to my dog comes to the office all the time.
Yeah,
we have 8 dogs in the office when we have a normal day.
It's the assistant,
oh, that's
yes.
Awesome.
That's the dog good. Division, yes.
The dog division.
Right.
We had the governor on yesterday. We're going to play you a little montage from that segment.
Okay.
Will we see any outdoor concerts at the Toyota Oakdale or the Xfinity this summer?
You know, I think so. If we stay on track where we are right now, I think you can see something later in the summer. You know, obviously, beaches and graduations are a little easier. Probably an outdoor rock concert, a little tougher to enforce, but I think we ought to be getting there. Obviously, as you've heard me say a million times, you know, outdoor is so much safer than indoor. There, I feel a lot more willing to take a little more risk.
Is there a time frame on that? If numbers are still going down or staying the same, would on or about July 17th, now, if all goes well, would you be able to say outdoor concerts, but specific protocols?
I think so.
So we got him to say a date that if everything goes well by July 17th, he said he thinks so, but by July 17th.
You got more out of him than I did.
See that?
Which is great. Don't misunderstand that. I mean, it was great what he said. I was thinking August. I have not spoken to the governor directly. I speak to his Commissioner of Economic Development, who runs the program of opening up Connecticut, and he's been wonderful. But I've never suggested a date in July. I'm suggesting a date in August. I'm playing it very safe. I would hate to think that we plan a show in July and then we have to postpone the show. So I appreciate that he's looking in July, but I'm going to be looking towards August.
No. I think what he meant was June 17th is phase two, and if phase two goes well, a month later, July 17th, if everything's fine and there's no spike and all the numbers are good, they would say the next phase would include concerts. So mid-July would be the announcement of outdoor concerts with certain protocols would be in the next phase.
Right.
Starting July 17th.
No, that would be August 17th.
Right.
Okay, great. I've always said August 15th. So,
see, there you go.
No,
that would be great. That would be great. We are working on protocols. We will always do social distancing. We will have the proper sanitizing conditions set up. We have a booklet that right now is way too long, and I'm trying to cut it down to present to the government right now. So hopefully by the end of the month, I'll present something to them with ideas. And if they say if all goes well, thumbs up, and I'll start working on it.
The booklet that you have, is that from your corporate office?
Oh yeah. It's right. Something. It's quite a protocol. It's right. Very impressive.
Is there pictures?
Yes, there are pictures.
Cool. I like pictures.
I like pictures too.
Yes,
they make it easier for me.
We all grew up liking pictures.
It breaks things up.
All those pesky words get
in
the way.
I like cartoon characters too.
It's a lot of reading. Like Snoopy like being broke up with pictures.
That's why we do what we do.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
That was a very nice way of saying that. Yeah. Thank you. You know, the governor also mentioned Leonard Skinner.
Yep.
Oh, did he really?
He did. Yeah, we were surprised too.
Well, that's funny because I'm actually hoping to have Leonard Skinner next summer in Bridgeport at the amphitheater.
Oh, you should have him bring him on.
He would love that.
You should have the governor bring them on.
Yeah.
You know what? The past governor was at every Dave Matthews show that I had at Xfinity.
That's funny.
Seriously?
Yeah, every show he was there. Every single show.
He
bought tickets and was sat in the audience.
That's how he talked.
I wanted to give you time to let that one sit out there.
That awkwardness.
And marinate.
Come on, that was good.
Exactly.
That was funny.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox, Jimmy Conflict, Live Nation Concert Guy on the show. Hello.
That's a good story, by the way. I know we're on the air, but that's a very good story. That's great.
We're just talking about... So, Jimmy was at Michael's last night in Wallingford, and then we both started going crazy about what a great restaurant it is.
Right.
I mentioned the meatballs. He said, that's my favorite.
Oh, meatballs.
And I never had the pizza there.
I got to try this place.
So I asked Jimmy, when you're in there, do people come up to you and say hello, or do they basically leave you alone? And he says, they come up, and it's great.
Yeah.
And I said, I
said the same thing must happen to you guys, is what I
said. Yeah, and I said, well, you know, some folks ask, I'm sorry I came up to... I'm like, when this stops happening, then I'm in trouble.
Right.
Right? And I said, we had Don Felder on the show once, guitar player for the Eagles.
Yeah.
He was on a cruise ship that he was going to perform on a cruise ship that I was about to go on.
Yeah.
And he said, well, make sure you come up and say hello.
Exactly.
So now Jennifer and I are in the restaurant, and here comes Don Felder and his party walking through the restaurant.
Yep.
And he sits at a table, and Jennifer's like, well, you go up.
He said to.
He told you to go up and say hello. I'm like, oh, thank you.
He says a lot of things.
So I wrestled for about a minute, and I'm like, okay, I'll go up.
Damn it!
I walk over, and I say, Don, it's Chaz. We talked to you last week on the radio, and you said to come up. And as I'm talking to him, I look over at his son, and his son has these eyes on me like, get the F out of here. I'm with my dad.
Oh, wow.
You know, so you can tell that kid has been through it so many times.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, dad's time is interrupted by people coming up.
And, yeah, I just throw something at him.
Yeah, then I was like, okay, good seeing you.
Yeah.
Thanks, bye.
Yeah.
Good show.
Well, he's no longer with the Eagles, right. And you're still a top morning show, so let's put that out there, number one.
Right.
Number two, let's go to Jordan's next December for Toys for Tots, and let's put Don Felder somewhere else, and let's see who draws more people.
All right, see? All right, it's on. It's on.
Ooh, competition. Oh,
it's on. Okay.
I love this
guy. All right,
guy.
Okay.
This is why Jimmy Conflict's Jimmy Conflict.
Exactly right.
Let me ask you a question with what's happening today and get your take on it. The protest, this is all a very tough time.
Well, my take on it is that it's about time that the country has turned around and seen that, in my opinion, the black community gets treated differently than other communities by the police. It happens, and I love the police, and I work with the police, but it is a problem. The one thing that does concern me is the COVID-19 virus with these protests. They're certainly valid protests. We do have something else going on in the world. We're trying to reopen the economy. I wish everybody wore a mask. I'm a little disturbed over it. The cause is the right cause. I hope the result isn't the wrong result. That's all.
Right. Let me ask you about some of the next steps. Now, there's calls for this to change and statues to come down, which I agree with some of these statues. I haven't been paying that close of attention.
Yeah.
Right? But I see that they're scrubbing some movies, and I think, well, music's next.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think about songs being scrubbed from history because the lyrics may seem offensive to some?
I might be in the minority on this because I'm moderately Democratic in general. I have voted for Republicans, but I'm an independent, but I probably lean more Democrat than Republican. I don't agree with that. I think if it's taken in the context it was in, it's fine. I think of Amos and Andy back in the 50s, a TV show that probably most people are too old to remember, which clearly had racist undertones. But during the times, it was looked at as funny. It's no longer looked at as funny. You can never watch it again. But if you watch it with the understanding that these were times back then, and this is how things were, but thank goodness they're not now, I don't see anything wrong with it. But I'm white. So maybe I don't understand it. So I would lean towards the people that feel offended.
Okay.
Because I could get offended over things, and I would hope people would understand they should lean towards things that I might get offended to. I'm very moderate. I've had friends that I've lost over Facebook posts when kill Nancy Pelosi and all this stuff. I believe in moderation.
Yeah.
You might not want to like Nancy Pelosi, but don't put on your Facebook post killer.
Right. Yeah.
That to me is wrong. I've lost a friend over it, and I'm just not going to put up with people like that.
I think most people are somewhere in the middle, and then there's crazy people on each side.
I do get
angry, but have you ever had a band? I'm just trying to think of different songs that maybe they came out with a song and it was a big song, and then over the course of time, they really can't play it because it doesn't, it might feel offensive to the audience. I think Guns N' Roses probably has a few songs like that, right?
Yes, but Guns N' Roses is the type of artist that was a protest against normalcy. And I understand that, and it's good, and it's fine. And I don't take offense towards Ted Nugent politically. He's entitled to his rights.
Yeah.
I'll promote him.
Yeah.
If Donald Trump went out and started doing a speaking tour, I'd put him in a theater and sell tickets to him, and he'd make a lot of money, and I'd walk away saying whether I agree with him or not. I'd say I did the right thing. I presented a side.
Yeah.
A side.
Yeah.
Right.
It's fine by me. It's a side. We had Bill and Hillary Clinton. I got a lot of nasty emails. Doesn't mean that I support Bill and Hillary Clinton. It means I presented them in a speaking event that if people wanted to go see them, they could go see them. And if not, they didn't go see them.
Right. Exactly. Right. Cool. Yeah. You have the option.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe in moderation. I think the problem with today's world is we've gone too far right and too far left. There's no middle anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think our government proves there's no middle anymore. And nothing gets done because there's no middle anymore.
I think the word respect just has to apply to everybody.
Yep.
You have to respect others' opinions. You could disagree, but be respectful.
Right, exactly.
Did you have something, Phil?
Well, we were talking about songs that maybe don't age well and people not wanting to hear it anymore. I don't have an example in rock, but we hear this every year at Christmas when people start playing Baby It's Cold Outside.
Right.
There have been calls in the past, like within the last 3 years specifically, it's gotten very loud to ban that from the airwaves and never use that song on the air.
Right.
I think, first of all, the Rod Stewart version of Baby It's Cold Outside with, I believe, Queen Latifah is singing with him. It's either him or her or Cher, one of the two, is a highlight of his career, I think. It's a great song. I think that when people write lyrics back in the 50s and the 40s, we just have to take it in context. It doesn't mean today it's valid, and that's what I think we have a problem with. I think we have a real problem with that. If people believe it today, that's a problem. If people sing it today, I don't see it as a problem.
Yeah.
See?
I'm afraid that songs will be scrubbed from history because some people will say it's offensive and no one should ever hear these songs again.
Right, like short people, for example, yes.
Right.
You can't say short anymore. It's vertically challenged.
Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation Concert God, on the show. And we'll take a couple of questions from Jimmy. Mark in the oil truck never fails to call.
Oh, no.
When Jimmy's on. He must have some kind of a stalker chip in his head.
Exactly.
And I mean a good stalker.
In a good
way.
He's
like a super, super fan.
Yeah, he's huge.
But he must know when Jimmy's driving through his town. Like, wait. Jimmy Coplick's close.
Senses. My senses going off.
Mr. Jimmy Radar.
They're tingling.
Jimmy.
Jimmy, let's see. Mark in the oil truck wants to know, does Live Nation have plans to stop scalping in the future? You don't scalp, right?
No, we don't scalp, and we can't prevent it because it's not illegal. It's legal. The state of Connecticut allows it, so we can't stop it.
There you go.
I mean, I did a great job in the 70s and the 80s. With Joe Lieberman when he was Attorney General of putting an anti-scalping law in. And I was there when he signed it and had a picture taken with Joe. And boy, do we look different. Someday I'll find that picture. and then in the 90s, the state government was convinced that it prevented certain people from buying tickets. The scalping should be allowed. And it's allowed now. So it's something I don't fight anymore because it's the law.
Part of the problem, or the problem, is we pay it.
Yep. You don't pay it, they starve.
Well, you're right there. You're right there. I mean, that's what I say. You complain about my ticket prices? If you don't buy them, I'll lower them. I'll learn that I've charged too much money. So you're 100% right.
See?
Tom Long Island wants to know about KISS. Any word on North American dates?
We haven't reset the date yet. It will not be playing this summer at Xfinity. We are working on resetting the date, and when we reset the date, we'll announce it, and we'll open up a 30-day window for people to get refunds, as we have with all of the shows, if they can't make that date.
All right. Jim in North Haven wants to know about your favorite memories of the New Haven Coliseum.
I think my favorite memory of the Coliseum have to be the New Year's Eve shows with the Allman Brothers in 79 and 80.
Oh, wow.
They were just special. They were late nights. They were crazy times. Great relationships. I built great relationships up because we spent New Year's Eve together for 2 years in a row. And clearly that, to me, is my that was my favorite memory of the Coliseum.
And obviously they would do a countdown at midnight.
Countdown at midnight, and then they'd break into either Whipping, one of their long instrumentals they would play, usually Whipping Post or Elizabeth Reed or something like that right after midnight. They play for another 30 minutes to an hour afterwards, and it was just a great night.
That's magical.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was great. We'd all go to the Park Plaza Hotel, which I think is called, I don't know what it's called. Is that the Sheridan now? Is that a Sheridan downtown? I don't know what it is. And we would spend the rest of the night awake.
Yep.
How did that happen?
That's a good way to put it, right?
I like that word. Awake.
A lot of coffee and champagne.
Yeah, and we'd see the sunrise.
Exactly, right. And go home in it.
Okay, so that's your favorite. What would another favorite be?
Well, I don't want to call it my favorite, but the most memorable would be when Tommy Lee fell off out of his drum kit on his head at the Motley Crue show, and we had to rush him to the hospital and cancel the show. So that would be memorable in the way that of the moment. And the other one was Jerry Garcia getting sick right before a Grateful Dead show, and me getting up on stage with Mickey and Bobby having to announce the postponement of the show, which somebody was kind enough to send me the audio of me making that, and the other two guys from the Dead making the announcement. I have an actual audio of that, which is just a great memory of, I mean, that's probably 40 years ago.
Can we get that and play it next week?
I think I can get it up to you, yeah.
Oh, cool.
I think I can get it up to you.
Nice. I went to one Grateful Dead concert, and when I did, I understood. You look around and you say, I get this now.
Did the air smell funny?
A little bit.
Cool.
I was very worried about sneaking in a couple of funny cigarettes.
Right.
Right? So I'm just a kid. I'm like, whoa, I wonder if I can get this in.
Right, you can try.
Get in. I'm like, oh, great. Now I'm looking around me, and the Grateful Deadheads have this recording gear.
Yep, yeah.
Yeah, one
almost
guy
a studio
had a cast on with crutches, and he used the crutches as mic booms, so he'd have left and right stereo.
Amazing.
I'm like, and I was worried about getting a couple dubs in.
Exactly. And they're like Zeppelins. Yeah.
Yeah.
Blunts. Amazing.
Well, I used to sneak them in, and I used to put them in my sock. I don't know where you put yours. I put mine right in my sock.
Oh, there you go. See?
They're not going to feel it down in my sock.
Right. They're not going to check your sock.
Right.
No, I don't think so. So that's where I used to, when I snuck into. I once got sort of busted at Madison Square Garden with that.
Sort of.
Well, they flashed the flashlight. Somebody, it was going down a row, and we were passing it at a Paul McCartney show down a row. And, okay, great. This seems very good. So I'm going down, and they pass it to me, and I take a hit off it. And then all of a sudden, it ends up that I see a flashlight shining on me. And I go, oh, my God, am I going to get thrown out of a Paul McCartney concert?
Right.
And the guy thankfully just pointed at me and said, put it out. And I want to say, it's not mine to put out. I can't really do that. That's not right.
Just hand it back to the person next to you. I gave it to you. Yeah, take
it
back.
I wanted to, but then I thought I'd get that guy in trouble, so I put it out.
Of course,
everybody bitched to me, why'd I do that? I said, because I don't want to go to jail.
Exactly right. It'll harsh the rest of the concert.
Is this the last break of the hour? Okay, good. So I got some time here with Jimmy.
Cool.
All right. What is your what would your favorite Toyota Oakdale moment be?
I think it was in 2002. I don't know the exact date, but it was when we had Coldplay there.
Okay.
And I'm backstage, and all of a sudden, Gwyneth Paltrow walks in.
Oh, yeah.
And I go, oh, right, they're married. Now I get it.
Right.
And
I'm not tripping, yeah.
I was pretty amazing, I thought, because Coldplay was just starting to get big, playing just the Oakdale, and seeing Gwyneth in backstage was very cool. And the other favorite moment I remember is we had two shows with John Mayer over Thanksgiving weekend, back way back when, and it was an opening act he put on the show that I had never heard of. And I go out and I watch them, and the audience is screaming, so clearly the audience had heard of them, and they were Maroon 5.
Oh.
Wow. And that was, and I said, oh, my God, these guys are going to be big. Look at the audience screaming over them already. And I had hardly heard of Maroon 5 at the time.
And it hasn't stopped.
Yep. Surprise.
For them.
Yep.
No, it hasn't. No, yep. You're right.
And that's the one thing I hear from anyone who's ever seen them is that, boy, that Adam Levine, great performer,
show.
And
yeah.
Connects with the audience.
Yep.
Phil?
Yeah, I got a question from Chris on Facebook. Can you ask Jimmy if he had anything to do with Guns N' Roses at Lake Compounds and why they canceled? He still has his ticket.
I had nothing to do with most of the shows I didn't have anything to do with, including that. The reason it got canceled is a guy who was doing the Lake Compound shows was using ticket money to buy advertising and put deposits on other shows, and Guns N' Roses' agent found out about that and demanded their pay before they came to the show. The guy didn't have the money, so Guns N' Roses canceled the show, and that became the downfall of all the concerts at Lake Compounds, because all the other bands then started demanding the money in advance because they realized this promoter didn't have the funds to pay them.
So I'm guessing that promoter was, not guessing, but that promoter was obviously competition for you.
Yes.
There you go.
And did they have any other venue other than Lake Compounds?
Not in Connecticut, but they had a place out in Milwaukee called Alpine Valley, which was a big amphitheater out there. And but other than that, those were the only two venues the guy had.
So when, let's just say, Stevie Ray or Guns N' Roses come into the area, would you bid against each other for the show?
Yes, I would bid against him, and he would pay so much money that I couldn't figure out how he was making money. Needless to say, he wasn't making any money. He was just trying to get the artist.
Right.
Gotcha.
So it all caught up to him when he had the artist figured that they weren't going to get paid because of the Guns N' Roses incident.
You know, that was the site of Milli Vanilli coming out, right? They had a record playing and the record skipped while they were out dancing.
That was the site of that?
That was the compound.
No way! It was like compound.
Yeah, it was the end of them. Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, people think it was my show when that happened because they played the Coliseum the year before that. But no, it was not my show. But you're right. That's exactly where it happened.
They played in the rain.
When you had them at the Coliseum, did you have a record player backstage? Did you know?
Weird.
They did it from the soundboard.
Wow.
Oh.
Holy crap.
Yep.
It just seemed to me that you'd have it on cassette and not on a record.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Or like CDs worth of around there, right?
I don't know.
I think the CDs are there.
You know, you're right. That would have been less smarter. Tape doesn't skip.
Yeah, right. Exactly right. Might slow down.
Yeah, that's true.
Slow.
Make it part of the act.
And speed up. Yeah.
And then before we let you go, Jimmy, any concerts or tours that you see starting to bubble up now or any talk?
No, not yet. Not yet. We're waiting to see what the story is as far as when we can officially start opening. We have moved a ton of shows into next year. A ton of shows we moved into next year. And we'll wait and see what happens. The governor, what you got from the governor was very promising, and I think that's great news. And I would hope in particular that we can get shows outdoors at Oakdale this summer and hopefully get a show or two up at Xfinity this summer. We do have a capacity at Xfinity. We're going to cut it in more than 50%. So that plan's together. We're working on the Oakdale capacity in the gravel parking lot. That's where we plan to have the concerts, in the gravel parking lot. We'll put the stage up towards the back. We'll face the music into the highway so nobody will have any sound issues.
Cool.
So we've got that planned. I walked the site yesterday, decided where to put the VIP tents and where the backstage would go. So I set up the facility with Mike Andrews, our GM, yesterday. So we set up the facility, how it's going to look. So we're mapping it out today, and we'll hopefully present everything to the state sometime next week.
Cool. Man, there's an art to where you put everything, and you've been through this so many times. I love the garbage can story.
Yeah.
I forgot to get garbage cans. Like, there's an art, and then there's the experience of doing it for decades. And you say, no, it's got to go over here.
Exactly. I know what I'm doing.
You already know how it's going to go.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm having fun doing it. I really am. It's sort of like starting from ground zero again, you know, trying to start build a new facility. At Oakdale, it's particularly exciting because I think summer outdoors at Oakdale sort of brings back the memories of past. And if it works this year, we'll do it every year.
Were you involved with Toyota Oakdale back when it was in the round and they had Zeppelin play there?
No. No, I was still in high school and just going to college.
That's bananas, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They had The Who. They had Zeppelin. It was... Listen, thankfully, the guy who owned Oakdale hated these rock bands. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. He couldn't stand the rock bands.
Really?
Yeah.
He hated the drugs. He hated the sloppiness. He was used to dealing with Dean Martin.
Oh.
Who also could be pretty sloppy, I guess. So I guess he was the wrong example.
Right. Right. Fucking drunk, yeah.
Yeah, so
but
that's...
He's used to dealing with those Broadway stars and Tom Jones and people like that.
Right. That left an opening for you.
Yeah, because he didn't understand the younger generation.
Well, there you go.
Well, lucky for us.
Yep.
Now they're the older generation.
And look at it now.
See?
That round area is where we just buy beer.
Exactly right, yeah. There's nothing, really.
All right, Jimmy, thanks for coming on, brother. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. Take it easy. Have a good week.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. We were just talking to Grassy Hill, and we love those folks over there.
Yep.
About weddings. And he said, you know, they have Halloween weddings. That sounds like a fun theme.
Yep.
AJ, if you had a wedding theme.
Yeah.
What would it be?
Might do NASCAR.
Oh, that's fun.
NASCAR theme,
everyone
yeah.
wears fire suits?
Yeah, like all the tables be like different sponsors and stuff like that.
Right.
They want to wear, well, the bride and groom, obviously, myself and the bride will be wearing like fire suits and everything. And maybe the...
That'd be hot.
Maybe, well, you know, not the entire time, just for
as
the wedding
Ashley
part.
As Ashley shakes her head.
And then the priest... The priest could be like, you know, like could be like the gentleman start your engines person, you know. You know, have them like dress like that and you know, and then you know, instead of like
so it'd be like
yeah. It'd be like pulled pork sandwich
what would he
stuff
say
like that.
Instead of gentleman start right. your engines.
He would say, you may now kiss the bride.
Oh, and then you hear all right. the revving from the parking lot.
Exactly right.
As that's happening.
But no, as you're entering in, they do the crank it up. You know, as you're entering, instead of like the music up here, do the crank it up part, yeah.
That's really cool.
Thank you, see? I gave it some thought.
That is cool.
And obviously we can get a hold of an actual, you know, NASCAR stock car, like you know, one of the cars, and have it sitting out front.
Oh, would you drive away in it, like just married?
At 700 horsepower, maybe.
With the cans.
Yeah, there's only one seat, though.
Strings
so.
And cans.
Exactly, right.
I don't know if you're allowed to have that on the street.
But it'd be cool to do victory burnouts, like do burnouts in the parking lot, you know? Do like donuts.
No. It's not a real NASCAR. It's a simulator.
Okay.
That they use to drive people around in those, like, Father Day gifts.
Oh,
like,
yeah, the NASCAR experience.
The experience cars.
Right, where it actually has two seats, but it actually is a NASCAR, an actual stock car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
That'd be cool. Yeah, and at the end, just go outside and do donuts in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then the pit crews are the people who are waiting the tables.
Exactly, right, right. Yeah,
they come over with a big can and they fill the drinks.
Right.
It takes them 6.4 seconds to drink all of them.
The entire row.
The food is timed. Each person is like 17 seconds to get your plate of food.
Right.
You know?
They're changing out a whole table from salad to entree.
And have like, you know, like NASCAR style food, like pulled pork sandwiches and things like that. That's your buffet.
That.
Honey,
so
that was
much.
The quickest wedding I've ever been to.
Right, exactly. No, efficient. The wedding goes as long as a NASCAR race is a couple hours long.
Right.
You know?
Wow.
Yep.
The entire wedding party's only allowed to sit on the left side.
Exactly, right. Well, the wedding party is dressed like pit crew members.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, wedding parties, pit crew members.
Right, so the bride has like her favorite driver, so they're dressed in that person's pit crew and
what
stuff like that.
What if the bride doesn't like NASCAR?
And then the groom, and then she's not a bride. And then the groom is dressed like his favorite, you know, his favorite race team.
Right.
Exactly.
Wow.
And everybody
you
like
can almost hear the sound of that idea being shot down by a bride.
And then and like the and then the the gifts for like the, you know, the people on the wedding party. We'd be like those, like those collectibles, like the NASCAR collectibles. Little diecast cars.
You know what's
with
sad?
There's
no way you're just coming up with all this now.
No way.
You've thought about this.
After you get married and you're walking down the aisle and everybody's clapping, they wave the checkered flag.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, no, that comes after you kiss the bride.
Right.
You know, they wave the flag.
You should hire Phil as your wedding planner. This is fantastic.
Yeah, we're good. Anyway, so yeah. And of course, you know, like, you know, it'd be like, you know, the drinks would be like, you know, Mountain Dew and Pepsi and stuff like that. For those ones, soda. But then like Jim Beam, Jack Daniels, stuff like that would be like, you know, the liquors that are involved in a, you know, every now and then a car like that. So,
right.
Yep. So that kind of thing.
That's great.
Would the bride drive down the aisle?
Like, and like the music would be like a mixture of like, rock and country, you know, like all the artists that like, you know, you'll see, you know, at the pre-race, you know, parties and celebrations they have like that. Yeah. Everybody from like, you know, who's that? Zach Martin. Who was that guy?
Who's that guy? I don't know.
Zach Brown?
Zach Brown, that's it. Zach Brown.
Zach Brown band would not play NASCAR.
Guess again. Anyway, so
why would you say that? They're a country band, right?
They're a country jam band.
Yeah, and?
You think they would play NASCAR?
Yes, it's a huge audience. If they had an opportunity to play an event like that, of course they would do it.
They would do it, yes.
Okay.
Right. But everybody from like them to like, you know, like Bret Michaels has played before also, you know. So songs.
So you'd pick the DJ music.
It'd be
consistent with a NASCAR lot party.
Exactly right, yes, right. And there could be like some tailgating
so
outside.
So the limo should be a stretch NASCAR car.
And it should be like they could be like attendees can get like T-shirts that have like almost like a race shirt, you know, like that.
Oh,
and it would say like instead of like the race, it would be like, you know, the blah 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 wedding, yada yada.
Yeah. So the attendees would be like the people in the parking lot or in the out in the center field there.
Yeah, exactly. The infield, yes.
Yeah, infield.
Yep. Huh. Yep. And like
it's gotta be a toolbox somewhere. What would the toolbox have?
The toolbox.
Oh, the silverware.
Oh, the silverware, yeah. Exactly. Right.
So the pit crew would roll the toolbox up, put the silverware
out. And then the bride and groom leave in an RV. It's a nice RV. Because you always see the RVs in the infield.
Right. And whenever AJ, the groom, didn't want to talk to anyone, he just puts on those big earmuffs that they wear on Pit Rose. He's not hearing anyone.
I can just talk to whoever I want to.
Right.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm here. Yeah. Person with the stinky breath over here. Yeah. They're kind of an a-hole anyway. So I'm going to forgive. Yeah.
So there's a national anthem moment. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Mm. And maybe like during the wedding, someone interviews me and says, you know, so what are you looking for today in the wedding today? Well, you know, I'm looking for a good turnout. I'm looking for some good envelopes. I'm looking for a damn good consummation afterwards and, you know, the usual stuff, you know. Want to thank our sponsors.
Right.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. And like, you know, like instead of like, you know, having like a line where like people give you the envelopes and everything, you have like a winner's circle and they come over there.
You know, this is a Chaz and AJ event.
Yeah, AJ getting married?
The fake wedding.
Right. Exactly right. So there you go.
You get to spray champagne on everyone.
Exactly right.
You get the cup, right?
Exactly.
You give some kind of a big cup.
Then you chug a beer. Yeah. And you have a Monster Energy drink.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, it was a long wedding, but, you know, I knew my crew would be behind me and everything. And, you know, we had a couple moments where I thought it would be a setback. But, you know, when we came back in here, we want to thank everybody for the good bride over here. And, you know, like,
we want to thank everyone for the good bride over here.
Yes, thank you for paying attention, Phil.
I love that speech, though.
Yeah.
He's so ready to go.
Yeah. I need a fan, man. It's hot in here.